Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Turn to Psalm 23, please. Glory. Psalm 23. Is everybody there?
Yeah.
Psalm 23. How I was quickened to this before the message. A word before the message. Is everybody there? Let's read this together. The Lord is my shepherd. Say it again. The Lord is my shepherd. Say it again. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Hold on. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That word want also means lack. I shall not lack. That's if he's your shepherd. Now, a shepherd leads the sheep. So, if the Lord is truly our shepherd, we're not going to lack because we're not going to want. Are you listening? Because he's providing everything. Now listen, this is important because in verse 2 it says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. That's green pastures is a representation of spiritual food. And still waters is a representation of spiritual drink. So he says, I'm going to provide you spiritual food and I'm going to provide you spiritual drink. It says, he restores my soul and leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. So he's going to restore everything, isn't he? He's restoring your soul, your mind, your will, and emotions according to his image, likeness, and character. Now he does this all before he does something else. Verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Hallelujah. Now, before you receive a dry season, he has already provided for you. He never sends you in a dry season without provision. Are you listening? Now, a dry season is an area where it seems like things just ain't working right. Things seem to be dry. You're praying. You're doing all kinds of stuff. The revelations you have had, you remember, but it just seems no effect on you. And as you go through this dry season, there's something that God does. He does a testing. He is testing your love. It's called a love test, and I'm not teaching on love tests today. But in this, he wants to know if you're going to rely on him or your feelings, your desires. This is where your true desires really get exposed. This is where people begin to try to escape from the valley of the shadow of death. It's that dry season. They try to come out of the valley. They try to dig out. They try to climb out. They try to fly out. They try to go to their past for comfort. They go back to things that bring them comfort because they're in a dry season. But if the Lord is truly your shepherd, you won't do that. You will know that you're going to break out. See, you're either going into a dry season, in a dry season, or coming out of one. Welcome to the earth. And in this, in these dry seasons that we go into, and everybody goes into them, it is a testing of where your loyalty is. So many people try to work more hours to fulfill that dry season. They become human hunters for a spouse. They go back to drugs and alcohol. They go back to religion and old traditions. They go back to places where God has delivered them from and told them not to go back yet. Because they're in a dry season. And in this dry season, the purpose of this is to find out your loyalty. and who you are loyal to, yourself or him. So everybody goes through dry seasons. Does everybody understand this? And though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because the Bible says perfect love casts out all fear. So he wants to know if you're walking in his perfect love, and love is a choice, not a feeling. For I will fear no evil, for you are with me, even though you don't feel him with you. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That's counsel, correction, and direction. Are you listening? It doesn't feel good. But what he's trying to do is remove all of those things from us so that he can have reign in us. You know, Jesus was sent into the wilderness, wasn't he? He was sent into a dry season, tempted by the devil. God is going to allow these things to happen to me and you. And the Bible says that after Jesus was tempted, he came out even stronger. So your purpose of going in through the dry seasons is so that you come out stronger. Amen? Why? Because more of you has died. Now go to Isaiah 10. Isaiah chapter 10. Isaiah 10, 24. Isaiah 10, 24, would you read it with me? Therefore, thus says the Lord God of hosts, O my people who dwell in Zion, do not be afraid of the Assyrian. He shall strike you with a rod and lift up his staff against you in the manner of Egypt. For yet a little while, and the indignation will cease, as well my anger in their destruction. And the Lord of hosts will stir up a scourge for him, like a slaughter of the Midian and a rock of Oreb. As his rod was on the sea, so will he lift up in the manner in Egypt. And it shall come to pass in that day that the burden will be taken away from your shoulders, and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the what? Anointing oil, or the anointing. As you go through this dry seasons, there is a part like a more of an anointing awaiting for you. You know, everybody wants to walk in the anointing and the power of Christ, but it takes death. The purpose of the anointing is so you die to yourself. And the same thing with Jesus. When he walked through the wilderness, he went to that dry season. He was tempted by the devil. And he used the word of God to get him out. And as he came out in a stronger anointing. And the anointing is what breaks the yoke. This is what breaks us out of bondage. The anointing breaks us out of bondage. And I'm telling you right now that there's a breaking out that is getting ready to happen. I said there is a breaking out that's getting ready to happen. The breaking out. The anointing that breaks the neck of the enemy and the strongholds of bondage, which is on the church and on the lost. But Christ is the anointed one in his anointing, and there is a breaking out that's about to happen. It's been trickling, but I'm telling you, there's a greater power of the breaking out getting ready to come. But you can't run back to the world during your dry season, or you will miss God. And one thing we don't want to do is start all over again. Hallelujah. Go to Mark 14. Everyone say, I'm breaking out. Mark 14. Mark 14, is everybody there? Verse 1. After 2 days, it was Passover and a feast of unleavened bread. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by trickery and put him to death. They were trying to trick him to kill him, and he was there to die. But they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany, at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it out on his head. She did what? She broke the flask. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they criticized her sharply. In other words, everybody around there, when Jesus was sitting there, and she comes and breaks the flask and pours it on Jesus. And everybody was so carnal, the only thing they thought about was using the money to feed the poor. But they really didn't see, because they could not see beyond the temporary. They only saw the temporary. But Jesus answered, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do to them good. But me you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Surely I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. Jesus was anointed for burial. He had become now the alabaster box on the cross. First, it had to be done to him. Do you understand that? She broke the alabaster box on Jesus. The anointing was poured. Now Jesus became the alabaster box for me and you. Broke on the cross. That he was broken, his anointing has splashed onto his offsprings. You know, the Bible says that Jesus is the bread of life. At the Last Supper, it says that he took the bread and what? Broke it. Everything is started with breaking. First thing that God does is break me and you so he can remold us. The anointing is to break the yoke, but people don't realize that first you and I got to get broke. We have to get broke. And in this place of brokenness, God begins to mold us. He cannot break a hardened heart. Do you understand that? A hardened heart has to cry out to be broken. Is everybody okay? And in this, Jesus was now the representation of the alabaster box that was broke for me and you. He was the bread of life that was broke. And it says that he broke it and gave it to who? His disciples. So the anointing has been splashed onto me and you, transferred to me and you, is so that you and I can walk in the same way he did. Breaking of himself so we could break out of tradition, bondage, fear, sickness, poverty, deceptions, selfishness and greed and the things of the world. This was the work of the cross. Does everybody got it? This was the work of the cross. And one of the things that we've got to be constant in doing, because in this breaking out, you know, we talked about not looking behind, because we don't want to be associated with the things of old of our life, do we? The only time you look behind is to see the work of the cross. Because you and I were birthed from the cross. This is how his breaking has broken us out. And that anointing that you and I are now carrying in the truth that we are being broke out of, so we can go forth and break out others. So the cross must always be behind us now, and Jesus must always be before us because he's off the cross now. The only thing that's on the cross for me and you now is our flesh. Hello. That's the work of the cross. Go to Romans chapter 6. Romans 6. In verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized in Christ Jesus were baptized in his death? Therefore, we are buried with him through baptism into death, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. Even so, we also walk in the what? Newness. So what we do is we see before us Christ risen, and behind us we see the work of the cross, which birthed me and you now, but our body is now on the cross to be crucified. This is what gets you through the dry season. So when you're going to look anywhere else for help, you're going to look to the work of the cross and look at Christ Jesus before you. And verse 5. For if we had been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was what? Crucified with him. So where is your old man now? On the cross. Where? Where? Behind you. Glory. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of it. For he who has died has been freed from sin. So if you maintain, that's why you and I are to acknowledge our death in Christ. How do you acknowledge it? You look at the cross. The work of the cross has birthed you and sprinkled the anointing upon each and every one of us, that we can be free. He has not only sprinkled the anointing, but he has sprinkled his blood. Because the Father acknowledges the blood. And in this now, you are on the cross. That's where we say, get ye behind me. Where? Put yourself back on the cross and allow the Lord and the Anointed One to be before you. The old man is crucified. Now, as you walk in the Spirit and are led by the Spirit, the old man stays on the cross. So the cross is behind you. The Lord is in front of you. So the only time you look back is to look at the work of the cross. Has everybody got it? Galatians chapter 2. It's when you look in other places that we get disqualified. See, because if you look anywhere else, if you're looking for fulfillment in relationships, money, success, and all the other stuff, you've taken your eyes off the cross. And now you're in the flesh. And the devil loves when you're in the flesh because he knows he's got a meal. Lunch. Galatians chapter 2. Is everybody there? In verse 20. Would you read it with me, please? For I have been crucified with Christ. Say it again. I have been crucified with Christ. One more time. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. Come on, say it. It is no longer I who live. Say it again. It is no longer I who live. Woo. But Christ lives in me. in the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Come on, continue. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? See, so many times people in the dry season run back to the world. They run back to the alcohol. They run back to the phone instead of the throne. They run back to the old comforts. They run back. But it's only a trap. It's a trap. See, God is trying to get us to go forward. But fear grips people in the area where they're afraid to go forward, so they go back to the familiar. Unfortunately, familiar spirits are there. Doctrines of demons, deception, delusion, sin, the presence of evil. And if you stay there, you die. Hello. That's why you go forward. You go forward, you make it through, because God has already predestined you to be conformed in his image and likeness. He's making every attempt for you. He's making every way of escape for you. He's already set it all up. Now he's just asking you to walk it out. And there is a breaking out that we don't want to miss. Hallelujah. You know, again, this is where people lose sight of the power of the cross, the breaking of Christ for our breaking out of prison. The breaking of Christ for the breaking out of our prison. Go to Galatians 6. Galatians 6:12. Is everybody there? Let's read this together. As many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, hello. See, going through the desert exposes your good showing in the flesh. You know, there's a lot of pretenders out there. This is where you expose your true reality, where you're really at. As many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. But God forbid that I should boast except for in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. The world crucified to me and I to the world by the power of the cross. Philippians 3. Again, the desert, that dry place, will truly expose your motives. In Philippians chapter 3, there's a lot of hallelujahs out there. But when they go through the trials and tribulations, they don't hallelujah no more. They run back to the world. In Philippians 3:15, this is where an individual is truly exposed to find out where you're at. You know, pride is a killer. But I'm going to tell you the number one killer. Ignorance. Ignorance. Pride and ignorance go hand in hand. Because pride always promotes blindness. A person thinks that they've made it. Nobody's made it. I don't care who you are, what God's used you for, where you've been, who sent you, who's ordained you, whatever it is. It has got nothing to do with the area of where you're going. Has everybody got it? In fact, that can prevent you from where you're going. Pride and ignorance work hand in hand. Pride is the character of the most deadly thing on this earth, and ignorance is its partner. Nobody's made it. There's going to be a lot of people who think they have, except for when they stand before God, he's going to say, "Who are you?" "But Lord, I cast out devils. I went to Bible school. I went here, I went there." And he says, "Wait a minute, you practice lawlessness. You quote the word, but you don't follow it." This is why he brings us through the dry seasons, so that we can get exposed and our true motive and desire and character and the true heart of us can be exposed so that we can see it and make the adjustments. Glory to God. Philippians 3, verse 12. Would you read it with me? "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are ahead. I press forward to the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule and let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who walk as you have for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ." See, this is where the dry season is exposed. They're either promoters, followers, or enemies. In verse 19, "Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself." Yes. Yes. Enemies of the cross. These are individuals. This is where the testing is. They can't live beyond the temporary. They live in the temporary. Everything to them is associated with the temporary. It's me, myself, and I. And this is where you and I must constantly understand that we have been birthed from the cross. And those who are led by the Spirit, their flesh has been crucified. It's on the cross. So the cross is behind us and the Lord is before us as you go through this dry season. And there are dry seasons. Everybody goes through a dry season. And it exposes where you're at. But you can't run out of that dry season, because that dry season will cause people to run to the flesh. They look for old comfort. And this is where you are tempted. Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. This is where you are what? Tempted. Go to James 1. This is what we call a love test. Where's your love at? And verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. So, in other words, when you have been what? Approved. So, it's not God that tempts you. But does he see the temptation coming? Amen. So is he going to use it for testing? Come on, the Holy Spirit led Jesus in the wilderness to be tempted. You don't think that you're going to be tempted? And especially when you're in that dry season. Oh, man. But it says that blessed is the man who endures. In other words, who overcomes, who fights through this temptation. Blessed is him. So what happens to the one who doesn't? Cursed is him. Hello. Now the one that does receives a crown. And he will receive the what? Crown of life. So as you overcome temptations, you receive a crown. But when you resist the hand of God and direction in this, in other words, when you agree with the temptation, it brings a curse. But so many times, God is trying to rescue us out of the temptation. And when we reject his rescue, it puts a wall. It puts a what? A wall. And what the devil does is he loves to put walls around us. I call them like poles. So he's building a steel pole around us. Every time God tries to rescue us, and when we reject it and we don't even realize it, because, you know, sometimes pride is always going, oh, I can do this. And you can't do it by yourself sometimes. Of course, you can never do it by yourself. You need his help. But so many times pride will reject because the rescue of the hand of God. And what it does now, it builds a wall around us. And then sometimes God will even send someone to knock down that wall and rescue us. And we reject even that rescue, and it makes that wall even thicker. And only the Lord can rescue us out of that. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage. But I'm telling you that there's a breaking out, great breaking out that's coming. And it's a taste away. There's trinklings of it right now. But there's a breaking out that is about to be released. But that breaking out is going to be released to those who go through the dry. Acknowledging that the cross, that they are on the cross behind them. And that the Lord of life is in front of them. They are not seekers of the things of the world. They are seekers of the things of heaven. They no longer live for them because they've been crucified with Christ. They live for him. They no longer fight for their life. I fight for his. He is about to release these things in a mighty way. Oh, yes. Only those who endure temptation are approved. That's what the word says. They are what? Approved. Go to 1 Timothy 6. The breaking out. Yes. First Timothy chapter 6. So when you resist the rescue, it builds a what? A wall. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 8. Is everybody there? 1 Timothy 6 verse 8. And having food and clothing with these, we shall be content. But those who desire to be what? Rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drawn men into destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with what? Many sorrows. But you, O men and women of God, flee from these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, and patience, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith and lay hold of eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. And many what? Witnesses. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Many run to the world during a dry season. In verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Let's read it. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a what? Good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the what? According to the rules. Breaking out of the entanglements of the worldly deceptions and bondages. Those are called the affairs of this world. In other words, living according to the ethics of kingdom business. Because see, as you live beyond the temporary, you are now living in the spirit, and you are living according to kingdom business. Everyone say kingdom business. And this is where this breaking out is happening. Breaking out is about kingdom business. Everything now is about kingdom business, not entanglements and affairs of this world. It's about kingdom business. Didn't Jesus come and say, behold, the kingdom of God is at hand. And Jesus did many signs and wonders, didn't he? That's the breaking out. Go to 1 Corinthians 4. But we must live according to kingdom rule. Does everybody got it? And moral ethics and principles. Not according to worldliness, but according to godliness. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. In verse 19. Is everybody there? 1 Corinthians 4:19. But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord wills, and I will know not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in what? Power. What do you want? Shall I come to you with a rod, or in love, and of a spirit of gentleness? The kingdom of God is not in word, it's in what? Power. This is called the breaking out. Power. 1 Corinthians 11. Paul said something powerful in verse 1. He said what? Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Everyone say that. I'm going to imitate Christ. Amen. In other words, you are speaking and acting as of God. Not that you are God, but as of God. In other words, on his behalf. Do you understand that? You are speaking and acting as of God. That's why he said he desires us to be like-minded. He desires us to be what? Like-minded. That's why it's important that the mind of Christ be established, perfected, and settled in each and every one of us, so that we see as he sees, hears as he hears, speaks as he speaks. Not according to worldliness, but according to Christ-like in every area. Now, grab hold of this. So, if we are imitating Christ, we are speaking and acting on his behalf. By doing this, we are swallowing up evil. We are swallowing up evil in all its stages of sickness, sin, fear, evil presence. Just as the rod of Aaron swallowed up the other rods, and the rod that Moses laid down that turned into a serpent and swallowed up the other serpents. We are going out forward in representation of the kingdom and power to swallow up all evil. This is called the breaking out. Now, to the world will either be a healing or a plague. We will be a healing or a plague. Do you understand that? In Luke 10. Verse 18. Is everybody there? Let's read it. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Hello. The breaking out. First, you got to get behind you. Be led by the Spirit and get put on the cross again. And the Lord get before you. Nevertheless, don't rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you. Hello. You know how many people are afraid to attack a devil? Then there's not perfect love. Because perfect love casts out all fear. But God has not given us a spirit, but power, love. I said power, love. I said power, love, and a sound mind. Power! The breaking out. The kingdom of God will be known to this earth. Are you ready? Nevertheless, don't rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you. Hello. But rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. All authority has been given to you. So the next time you look in the mirror, get rid of that thing. You got fear? Get rid of it. You don't have to wait for somebody to lay hands on you. Hello? God has already given you the authority. But if you're still running to the world for fulfillment, then you're not under authority, so authority isn't granted to you. That's why walking in divine order is essential. Go to Matthew 10 and we'll close here. We're laying a foundation for what's getting ready to happen. But first, there's the breaking out. Yes. How many of y'all want to go to the highways and the byways, cast out devils on the street, heal the sick, raise the dead? Get ready. Matthew chapter 10. Everybody say, I'm breaking out. And you're not breaking out in pimples. You're breaking out, man. Only ones that are fearful break out in pimples. Matthew 10, verse 7. Read it with me. I want you to grab hold of these next two scriptures. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. Cleanse the leper. Raise the dead. Cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Say it again. Okay, let's go to verse 7. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely you shall give. Hello? This is called the breaking out. But you got to get in position. You got to keep eating the word, drinking the spirit. Because there's a level of faith that God is bringing his body to right now. And this release is about to happen. I'm telling you, it's trickling, trickling, trickling. But it's going to continue to increase. It's just like a well. The well doesn't come to you. You go to it. Obedience is better than sacrifice. So make sure you get yourself behind you on the cross. And you're led by the Spirit. That's why Jesus said, and when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you shall have power and you shall be witnesses to me. What good is a witness who runs from a battle? What good is a witness who runs to the world when they're in a dry season? That's a poor witness. The works of the flesh are poor witnesses. But I'm telling you, God is moving right now. And things are about to explode. Get ready. Because it's happening. Amen. Everyone say, I'm breaking out for his glory. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah.